good.
Well, in the Unimo space.
Look, we're good for another hour.
All right, very good. Just let me know. You see, these... I'm talking to the ones in this room, but I'll listen to you.
Good, okay.
What happens is that from onset of the structuring of the banks, the Rothschilds grandfathered themselves so that all the laws that would come after would not affect them, just you. And it has been set up so that when the federal government closes down the banks, it pulls all of them, because no bank can be established in the United States of America without going through that Federal Reserve System and the Banking Commission. So they have been smart.
Well, we had it in Colorado. My bank was West America Bank.
They're good, George.
And we had a contract with another bank to act as the transferring agent for the checks. And they finally shut us all down, but they were state-chartered banks. But we had a deal for a while where we could interact between the
banks. Okay, we'll have three breaks in this hour, about 20 after, 40 after the hour, and 50 after the
hour.
Very
good.
We have a lot of breaks. That's a good sign. It means our advertisers are happy.
That's very good. And that's why we want to get it out of Mysticville.
Okay, and this is Dave Horton with KPTL Talk Radio, AM 1300 in Carson City, Nevada. Our guest is Commander Haffam. And, Commander, you had something about the communications link that was important to explain so that our listeners won't get the idea that we're dealing with mysticism here. Could you tell us something about that?
Yes, I can. We're not here playing mystical games with the minds, and we don't have people here trying to have some kind of a business adventure. We come as hosts in preparation for the transition of this planet. I come in on a very, very real physical frequency. It's impossible to pick it up unless you have a sophisticated higher frequency shortwave system. I come in at 1694.3 on the band. You will pick up a pulsed, very shrill, almost like a woodpecker tone. Dorma simply translates that tone into English. If you don't speak a language, you have to have an interpreter. All she is my receiver, translating those pulses, which are thought beam pulses, into language so that you can understand it. When we write on a computer keyboard. It is not mystical. It is very, very real. Now, I want to take up the term ET and extraterrestrial. If you expect little ET to phone home, this is not what you have here. I am extraterrestrial, but anything that is not on your surface is extraterrestrial. All of you listeners are waiting in one way or another for ones to return to your planet. You call him Christ, you call him God. I come as the host preceding these ones who come. And actually, the Christos that will return to your planet, I am on his ship. This is a very real type of communication, and we are come in advance to make contact, to bring the word of truth as God promised it unto this world. And that's what we're about. And it is not mystical, and it may not be as much fun as you ones would like to have, to go and have little seminars. But you have an earth making a transition, ending and coming into the biggest cycle in its entire creation. And it is the very time. It is truly the worst of times and the best of times. For you who are expecting this, It is absolutely the best of times. Once wonder, well, my preacher told me that you had to be evil because you come on a spacecraft, E.T., this is a lie. No, this is the truth. You are living in mysticism. We are moving into reality. Your God Creator would never leave you without responsible truth input to help you get through this period of time. Ones object to my speaking on business matters. Don't you ask him for input on business matters? This is the largest evolution of man as a species on this planet. And if you ask of God, he is going to give unto you. And I don't know how you expect him to reach you. But this is the way that he is reaching this group who has a tremendous responsibility on your place to get a remnant through here. And I ask that I might have this moment, and I hope that this sets some of your inquiries to rest. I'm not playing games.
And there is other written material on this that would be available here in Carson City through Marianne Dickens. Now, we're going to try the technique of taking a call now. Our call-in numbers are 882-5785, and we'll see whether this works. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I hope it's a very interesting show. I hope a lot of other people will call in.
Go ahead.
I can't miss this opportunity here to ask Commander Anton if he has read a book I sent him called Uncommon Sense, and if he would consider asking George Green to publish this book.
I still have the book. The question is, did I receive the book called Uncommon Sense, and have we looked at it? Have we read it? And I have read it. I think it is very, very well done. It's a little repetitious of the things that we have. I take a little bit of exception to some of the information laid forth in spirituality as related to your nation. But by and large, it is an excellent book, and somebody has really, really run a great risk to write and publish that book. And yes, I will give it. George is here right now, and I will give it over to him.
Very good.
I would say that I do not ever, I have on one occasion asked him not to print a book. I have on one occasion pushed, shoved, and taken responsibility for a book that I've asked him to publish, and that was the Committee of 300. Uncommon Sense falls into a different category. It is brilliant.
Okay, very good. Thanks very much. And we've got another caller. Go ahead, you're on the air with Commander Hatton.
Yes. What is the most important thing, a book or thing that we can do at this moment?
The most important work, you say?
Book we can read or thing we can do at this moment.
Well, I would ask you to get a catalog. I'm not very good at this part of it. I can't tell you one specific thing to get or to do because we've done 15,000 pages. So let's let George right now give you a number where you can call for a catalog. The most important thing that you can do is just begin to open your eyes and see what it is that is taking place here, because you've been lied to. You are truly people of the lie.
Okay, thank you. George, can you fill our listener in on how to get a hold of written material?
Well, my suggestion is for them to get with Marianne Dickens down there to get the books. They're available right there, the journals, the transmissions. Those who can't do it, call our 800 number. It's a free call, 729-4131. That's 729-4131, and they'll send you out a copy of the current newsletter and the new catalog.
And anything you can't get from Marianne would be available through the number 800-729-4131. Okay. I'll try to run this machine so far as pulling on another caller here. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, Mr. Bork.
Yes.
Yes, Bob Edwards. How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you. Do you have a question for our guest, Commander Hatton?
I understand that she's speaking about celestial,
No, we've been discussing the bank crisis in Japan and the effect that, that will have on the American economy by pulling purchasing power that has been infused into the American economy, out of the American economy, because they have been faced with the same type of problem through the trilateralists in Japan as we are faced here, of having to increase capital requirements in our banks at a time when credit is tight. And this is causing a lot of havoc in the United States and bids fair to cause some havoc in Japan. Do you have any question for Commander on that?
Yes, I was interested in, do you think the American public is ready for it, or are they still in a state of mushrooms, that they're living in the dark and being fed a lot of manure, particularly by the banking industry, and particularly in the state of Nevada? We have a similar system where most of our public money is put into certain banks, and then it's regenerated back out at on interest rates for private capital, and the public doesn't seem to be aware of this. Do you think eventually there'll be an education that the whole public, or that the Federal Reserve System is really a private family running the banking industry of the United States of America? Do you think that we'll ever wake up in Nevada that these conditions exist here, and that actually a lot of people are using their own tax money and paying as high as 18% and 19% interest on it, all with a certain abysmal lack of knowledge to dig into the Bible? Hosea says, "My people perish for the lack of knowledge."
Yes.
I realize it's a long question.
Well, that's my purpose.
Okay, thanks for your call, Bob.
That is my purpose for being on this, or being close to you and working with you at this time, is because of the lies that you have been told. And my purpose is to reveal those lies to you and see if that word can get out to the masses of people. Now, his question as to whether or not this can be done in a timely manner, I believe that ones will begin to get the picture, but I think that before you can really rise up and do anything about it, they will pull down the system. They will put the system into collapse, if you will. The point is, now they have pretty much quit trying to stop us from speaking. At first it was, we will kill you if you continue to speak. Ridicule, and then physical action against us, against my people. Now they seem to be very happy for us to be giving you this information, because it seems to, in their minds, prepare you, just like they have done in Los Angeles by moving in federal troops. And Mr. Bush has come down and done his victory speech. You have basically taken and orchestrated riots, racism, looting, everything, and then allowed your government to bring in federal regulations against you. This is exactly what they will do with the banks. The minute enough of you understand, and if you understand the power that they have, they are counting on you not to fight back with guns.
Well, and particularly if we have some power of controlling our own economic destiny, when they try to cut us off of the past, we may be able to have some more political independence than they count on if we are able to develop some financial independence.
Yes, and this may get you into trouble later, but what I have told my own ones, because this is a good test group, and there are interim things that you can do. For instance, the patriot groups that say, well, get to be a sovereign citizen in a state. Well, what you don't seem to understand, that as people of the lie, you already have the elite who have divided your nation, not into states, but into districts, and there are 10 of them.
Yes.
You will do away.
The federal regions.
Yes, you will move into federal regions without state boundaries. They already control your airports. You cannot get on a plane that your picture has not been taken 5 times at least. They already control your travel. They control the airwaves, the media, the press. During the Los Angeles riots, only that which they wanted you to see got on the air. Everything is set up to pull you down and into confusion as a mass of a public. And I don't know. Our thrust is to awaken the people. This is what Bo Greitz is about. Honor that man. You see, they have come out to block him, and they've done it in the most incredibly beautiful manner that you can imagine. They have pulled in a Ross Perot with a lot of money and a lot of connections with the elite. Now, Mr. Kissinger is your dangerous entity in this country at this time. And he is the one who has gotten Ross Perot to run. You see, if you go in and Mr. Bush does not get 270 electoral votes, it goes to your Congress to decide. Yes, to the House. But they only can consider the 3 leading candidates. That will be Clinton, Perot, and Bush. They have done this to preclude the possibility on the fluke that Bo Greitz could pull it off, because he is the only one of the runners that I see with the tenacity to do what he says he will do, and that is clean house.
And he's the only one of the candidates so far that I have heard come out with a remedy for all of the complaints. He says as number one plank in his platform, he will issue $450 billion of interest-free United States notes, which will pull the rug out from the absolute control of the Federal Reserve on our currency, which is one of the measures that would be a major emancipation for our economy and also for us politically.
Yes, sir. And you can see why with the power that the young man projects and the sincerity and truthfulness, because he has walked that valley of shadow at their hands. And he has seen. And I can only urge everyone who has opportunity to listen to him, do so.
Yes.
Because let me tell you what happens after this. It doesn't really matter who gets to be your president. That means the elite are still in power.
Right.
And they have arranged everything. But there's going to come a day here where this nation needs to pull together as the remnant, as what is left. And you're going to have leadership. And we commend this man. He will be your leader.
Very good. He's spoken here in Reno, and he's been on the microphone here. He'll be on the microphone again Monday from 10 to 12. Those who may have missed some of the earlier appearances may want to tune in AM 1300 and listen to Bo Greitz be interviewed by Travis Hipp. We're going to go to our commercial break now, and we'll be right back with our special guest, Commander Hatton.
I hate to take the time to give him, you know, push him, but he's going to wait.
Well, and I think if we exploit our legislative powers in the states, we may be able to greatly alter the power structure. Right now, our principal problem is not legal, but psychological.
Absolutely.
That we are the tail on the federal dog, and therefore they must wag us.
Absolutely. And you just keep feeding that dog, you see.
Yes. And if we get more examples on the books, like the Nevada Public Lands Ownership Act of 1979, if we start putting teeth into that, that will show that we can use state legislative powers to enforce U.S. constitutional provisions, then we can turn our attention to such important areas as the currency and get the Federal Reserve off of our necks so far as being able to control everything through their issues rather than what the Constitution requires, that the Congress issue all of the money.
Well, you see, you do get to the point where every time you come up with something, it does require their attention to figure ways to stop it.
Absolutely.
And it works for a while.
Through state action on an earlier attempt to regionalize, which when we come off the commercial break, we might go into a little bit to show how state legislative power can block some of the regionalism, because it has blocked regionalism efforts in the past. One of the characteristics of the Silver Coin Bill is that it is trying to mandate to the Congress that they resume control of the American economy by issuing United States notes. That's one of the specific provisions of the Nevada Silver Coin Bill. We agree to retire our silver currency issues when the Congress comes back and starts doing what it's supposed to do.
Well, now you're going to get in, see, the inability to put much pressure onto your Congress, because your Congress is 65% totally 65% controlled by political action committees of one sort and another.
One more commercial, about quarter till, but that'll give you a little
more time. Okay, we're just going to make one more commercial break instead of two. That'll give us a little more continuity.
All right.
And that'll be about a quarter to the hour. So he'll try to run the spots now, and we'll have one less interruption.
Well, perhaps if they are receptive to today, we can do this again.
Yes, now that we understand the mechanics of it a little bit, and also if George gets moved up here, it might be easier. Okay. Here we go.
Well, I hesitate.
Hi, this is Dave Horton with KPTL Talk Radio in Carson City, Nevada. Our guest is Commander Hatton, and we've been discussing some of the problems with regard to federal regionalism. And during the break, I was discussing with Commander Hatton that we have experience in the United States with using state legislative power to block earlier efforts at taking over the state powers by means of federal regionalism. It was done largely by the interests of by the efforts of a single state, where the Committee to Restore the Constitution formed an Indiana Committee to Restore the Constitution, and they put through the Indiana legislature a state bill countermanding the efforts to consolidate numerous state powers in, I think it was Federal Region 5 in Chicago. And the first time they got it through the legislature, or got it through one house, through the Senate, it went over to their House of Representatives and was bottled up in the Ways and Means Committee, whose chairman didn't like it. The next election, there was a new chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. They got it through the House of Representatives, and they ran into another snag. They kept causing heads to roll that blocked this measure until they got it through both houses of the Indiana legislature, which was using its state legislative power to vindicate its governmental rights that were under attack by federal regionalism. Then when they got it all the way through the Indiana legislature, the governor, who was a Republican governor, vetoed it. They went after him. And at that time, Reagan was president, and the Indiana governor was a Republican, and so Reagan got Governor Orr off the hook by countermanding the regionalism executive orders that had been put in place by President Nixon. So this is an indication of how heat generated by a single state legislative body, if it is circumspect and is using the state legislative powers to enforce the Constitution, can block a lot of the problems that we might otherwise face. And this is one of the reasons for encouraging the Nevada legislature to put teeth into the Public Lands Ownership Act, which was adopted in 1979, and that enforced one of the provisions of the United States Constitution that is being violated and has been violated in Nevada for over 100 years. And that's also a reason for having the Nevada Silver Coin Bill, which is an exercise of the state legislative power to correct the constitutional infraction represented by the states agreeing to allow the Congress to issue everybody's money, and then the Congress passes it over to this private corporation called the Federal Reserve. As soon as the Constitution is violated, we need to listen to James Madison and the Federalists. Federalist Papers, when he told us when the Constitution is violated, you use state legislative devices to correct it. And it may be that we have a strategy, kind of a local strategy here, that would help to unsettle what the planners have in store for us to the point where they may not be able to carry off their coup that they've been working on so successfully if they are starting to deal with a state that is waking up not only to the constitutional danger, but also to the constitutional powers that are available through the state legislature to enforce the terms of the Constitution within the state's borders. Commander Hatton, I don't know how much material along these lines I've forwarded to George Green, but I hope that we'll be able to get a lot of this out so that other people can analyze it. When we did the Public Lands Ownership Act in 1979, many of the so-called public land states, that's states in the western part of the United States that still had a lot of their public lands unlawfully controlled by the federal government, came online and copied the Nevada Public Lands Ownership Act. However, one of the things that was left out of the 1979 Act were the teeth to enforce this correct definition of constitutional law that is still right there on the statutes of Nevada and can be enforced and possibly will be enforced in the upcoming session. So that's another one of the areas where if we look to where our strengths are, and the tactical advantages appear always to be in the hands of the locals, if we look to where our strengths are and use them, kind of like in a military analogy, you reinforce your successes, we may be able to have a stronger position than might first appear when we realize that our Constitution is being violated on nearly every turn. We have a Constitution that limits the federal agencies to very limited areas, and they're trying to form themselves into a general government. And when they do this, they violate the Constitution, they take away our liberties, and they also generate opportunities for a state legislature to use its powers to enforce the Constitution.
Well, I'm going to take the opportunity to sound exactly like an advertiser or a pusher of the Chamber of Commerce. Are we there?
Yes.
Okay, I got such silence, I thought maybe I'd overstep my boundaries.
No, I was listening.
We have a situation that most of you will not be familiar with. We have created a constitutional law center, and it can be contacted by that name through Sacramento. Eventually, and I haven't really broken this to the ones who are the dean of that institution, will also be moved into Nevada. It is now set up as a Nevada company or corporation.
Good.
It works, it has several branches that work with it on these constitutional issues. For goodness sakes, get in touch with these people. They are already working on an Indian tribe problem called the Dan Band, I think, the Dan Tribe.
Sisters, yes, in Eureka County.
Yes.
That's a very important consideration because, again, it is a question of our having a treaty that we undertake to violate because it's no longer comfortable for us to continue to honor it. But I think we ought to take a look at that treaty again because we will probably find that by honoring our commitments, we will end up with more liberty, more control of our own affairs than we will by dishonoring our commitments, even though we as a state didn't make the commitment. The federal government did, but since they're tearing up the Constitution, we shouldn't be too surprised if they go ahead and tear up a treaty with the Indians. So that is a very constructive suggestion and something that I'll ask George Green to help me follow through on so that we can get some of this information into their hands. They may be able to again employ the good offices of the Nevada legislature.
Well, both, and let me correct it a little bit. The Constitutional Law Center is already working on that case.
Yes.
So, but there are numerous others. There are endless others, and the Constitutional Law Center is going to utilize and I would hope that there would be a word spread right here, right now. They are looking for lawyers specifically who have fought the system and been disbarred because of it. Ones who are absolutely sick and tired of the corrupt judicial system, get in touch with those people. They are looking for ones. They are looking for lawyers in various and sundry areas about your nation. You have to have a network to make any impact. And you can make an impact. It must be started from the sovereign citizen. In the United More Space.
Look, we're good for another hour.
All right, very good. Just let me know. You see, these, I'm talking to the ones in this room, but I listen to you.
Good, okay.
What happens is that from onset of the structuring of the banks, the Rothschilds grandfathered themselves so that all the laws that would come after would not affect them, just you. And it has been set up so that when the federal government closes down the banks, it pulls all of them, because no bank can be established in the United States of America without going through that Federal Reserve System and the Banking Commission. So they have been smart.
Well, we had it in Colorado. My bank was West America Bank.
They're good, George.
But we had a contract with another bank to act as the transferring agent for the checks. And they finally shut us all down, but they were state-chartered banks. But we had a deal for a while where we could interact between the
Okay, banks. We'll have three breaks in this hour, about 20 after, 40 after the hour, and 50 after the
Very
hour.
Very good.
We have a lot of breaks. That's a good sign. It means our advertisers are happy.
That's very good. And that's why we want to get it out of Mysticville.
Okay, and this is Dave Horton with KPTL Talk Radio, AM 1300 in Carson City, Nevada. Our guest is Commander Haven. And, Commander, you had something about the communications link that was important to explain so that our listeners won't get the idea that we're dealing with mysticism here. Could you tell us something about that?
Yes, I can. We're not here playing mystical games with the minds. And we don't have people here trying to have some kind of a business adventure. We come as hosts in preparation for the transition of this planet. I come in on a very, very real physical frequency. It's impossible to pick it up unless you have a sophisticated higher frequency shortwave system. I come in at 1694.3 on the band. You will pick up a pulsed, very shrill, almost like a woodpecker tone. Dharma simply translates that tone into English. If you don't speak a language, you have to have an interpreter. All she is my receiver, translating those pulses, which are thought beam pulses, into language so that you can understand it. When we write on a computer keyboard. It is not mystical. It is very, very real. Now, I want to take up the term ET and extraterrestrial. If you expect little ET to phone home, this is not what you have here. I am extraterrestrial, but anything that is not on your surface is extraterrestrial. All of you listeners are waiting in one way or another for ones to return to your planet. You call him Christ, you call him God. I come as the host preceding these ones who come, and actually the Christos that will return to your planet, I am on his ship. This is a very real type of communication, and we are come in advance to make contact, to bring the word of truth as God promised it unto this world. And that's what we're about. And it is not mystical, and it may not be as much fun as you ones would like to have, to go and have little seminars. But you have an earth making a transition, ending and coming into the biggest cycle in its entire creation. And it is the very time. It is truly the worst of times and the best of times. For you who are expecting this, it is absolutely the best of times. Ones wonder, well, my preacher told me that you had to be evil because you come on a spacecraft, ET, this is a lie. No, this is the truth. You are living in mysticism. We are moving into reality. Your God Creator would never leave you without responsible truth input to help you get through this period of time. Ones object to my speaking on business matters. Don't you ask him for input on business matters? This is the largest evolution of man as a species on this planet. And if you ask of God, he is going to give unto you. And I don't know how you expect him to reach you. But this is the way that he is reaching this group who has a tremendous responsibility on your place to get a remnant through here. And I ask that I might have this moment, and I hope that this sets some of your inquiries to rest. Okay. I'm not playing games.
And there is other written material on this that would be available here in Carson City through Marianne Dickens. Now, we're going to try the technique of taking a call now. Our call-in numbers are 882-5785, and we'll see whether this works. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I hope it's a very interesting show. I hope a lot of other people will call in.
Go ahead.
I can't miss this opportunity here to ask Commander Anton if he has read a book I sent him called Uncommon Sense, and if he would consider asking George Green to publish this book.
I still have the book. The question is, did I receive the book called Uncommon Sense, and have we looked at it? Have we read it? And I have read it. I think it is very, very well done. It's a little repetitious of the things that we have. I take a little bit of exception to some of the information laid forth in spirituality as related to your nation, but by and large it is an excellent book, and somebody has really, really run a great risk to write and publish that book. And yes, I will give it. George is here right now, and I will give it over to him.
Very good.
I would say that I do not ever, I have on one occasion ask him not to print a book. I have on one occasion push, shoved, and taken responsibility for a book that I've asked him to publish, and that was the Committee of 300. Uncommon Sense falls into a different category. It is brilliant.
Okay, very good. Thanks very much. And we've got another caller. Go ahead, you're on the air with Commander Hatton.
Yes. What is the most important thing, a book or thing that we can do at this moment?
The most important work, you say?
Book we can read, or
book that we can,
thing we can do at this moment.
Well, I would ask you to get a catalog. I'm not very good at this part of it. I can't tell you one specific thing to get or to do because we've done 15,000 pages. So Let's let George right now give you a number where you can call for a catalog. The most important thing that you can do is just begin to open your eyes and see what it is that is taking place here, because you've been lied to. You are truly people of the lie.
Okay, thank you. George, can you fill our listener in on how to get a hold of written material?
Well, my suggestion is for them to get with Mary Ann Dickens down there to get the books. They're available right there, the journals, the transmissions. Those who can't do it, call our 800 number. It's a free call, 729-4131. That's 729-4131, and they'll send you out a copy of the current newsletter and the new catalog.
And anything you can't get from Mary Ann would be available through the number 800-729-4131. Okay. I'll try to run this machine so far as pulling on another caller here. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, Mr. Burke.
Yes.
Yes, Bob Edwards. How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you. Do you have a question for our guest, Commander Hatton?
I understand that she's speaking about celestial,
No, we've been discussing the bank crisis in Japan and the effect that, that will have on the American economy by pulling purchasing power that has been infused into the American economy, out of the American economy, because they have been faced with the same type of problem through the trilateralists in Japan as we are faced here, of having to increase capital requirements in our banks at a time when credit is tight, and this is causing a lot of havoc in the United States and bids fair to cause some havoc in Japan. Do you have any question for Commander on that?
Yes, I was interested in, do you think the American public is ready for it, or are they still in a state of mushrooms? They're living in the dark and being fed a lot of manure, particularly by the banking industry, and particularly in the state of Nevada. We have a similar system where most of our public money is put into certain banks and then it's regenerated back out at on interest rates for private capital, and the public doesn't seem to be aware of this. Do you think eventually there'll be an education that the whole public, or that the Federal Reserve System is really a private family running the banking industry of the United States of America? Do you think that we'll ever wake up in Nevada that these conditions exist here, and that actually a lot of people are using their own tax money and paying as high as 18% and 19% interest on it, all with a certain abysmal lack of knowledge, to dig into the Bible? Hosea says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge.
Yes.
I realize it's a long question.
Well, that's my purpose.
Okay, thanks for your call, Bob.
That is my purpose for being on this, or being close to you and working with you at this time, is because of the lies that you have been told. And my purpose is to reveal those lies to you and see if that word can get out to the masses of people. Now, his question as to whether or not this can be done in a timely manner, I believe that ones will begin to get the picture, but I think that before you can really rise up and do anything about it, they will pull down the system. They will put the system into collapse, if you will. The point is, now they have pretty much quit trying to stop us from speaking. At first it was, we will kill you if you continue to speak. Ridicule and then physical action against us, against my people. Now they seem to be very happy for us to be giving you this information, because it seems to, in their minds, prepare you, just like they have done in Los Angeles by moving in federal troops. And Mr. Bush has come down and done his victory speech. You have basically taken and orchestrated riots, racism, looting, everything, and then allowed your government to bring in federal regulations against you. This is exactly what they will do with the banks. the minute enough of you understand. And if you understand the power that they have, they are counting on you not to fight back with guns.
Well, and particularly if we have some power of controlling our own economic destiny, when they try to cut us off of the past, we may be able to have some more political independence than they count on if we are able to develop some financial independence.
Yes, and this may get you into trouble later, but what I have told my own ones, because this is a good test group, and there are interim things that you can do. For instance, the patriot groups that say, well, get to be a sovereign citizen in a state. Well, what you don't seem to understand, that as people of the lie, you already have the elite who have divided your nation, not into states, but into districts, and there are 10 of them.
Yes.
You will do away.
The federal regions.
Yes. You will move into federal regions without state boundaries. They already control your airports. You cannot get on a plane that your picture has not been taken 5 times at least. They already control your travel. They control the airwaves, the media, the press. During the Los Angeles riots, only that which they wanted you to see got on the air. Everything is set up to pull you down and into confusion as a mass of a public. And I don't know. Our thrust is to awaken the people. This is what Bo Greitz is about. Honor that man. You see, they have come out to block him, and they've done it in the most incredibly beautiful manner that you can imagine. They have pulled in a Ross Perot with a lot of money and a lot of connections with the elite. Now, Mr. Kissinger is your dangerous entity in this country at this time. And he is the one who has gotten Ross Perot to run. You see, if you go in and Mr. Bush does not get 270 electoral votes, it goes to your Congress to decide. Yes, to the House. But they only can consider the 3 leading candidates. That will be Clinton, Perot, and Bush. They have done this to preclude the possibility on the fluke that Bo Greitz could pull it off, because he is the only one of the runners that I see with the tenacity to do what he says he will do, and that is clean house.
And he's the only one of the candidates so far that I have heard come out with a remedy for all of the complaints. He says as number one plank in his platform, he will issue $450 billion of interest-free United States notes, which will pull the rug out from the absolute control of the Federal Reserve on our currency, which is one of the measures that would be a major emancipation for our economy and also for us politically.
Yes, sir. And you can see why with the power that the young man projects and the sincerity and truthfulness, because he has walked that valley of shadow at their hands, and he has seen. And I can only urge everyone who has opportunity to listen to him, do so.
Yes.
Because let me tell you what happens after this. It doesn't really matter who gets to be your president. That means the elite are still in power.
Right.
And they have arranged everything. But there's going to come a day here where this nation needs to pull together as the remnant, as what is left. And you're going to have leadership. And we commend this man. He will be your leader.
Very good. He's spoken here in Reno, and he's been on the microphone here. He'll be on the microphone again Monday from 10 to 12. Those who may have missed some of the earlier appearances may want to tune in AM 1300 and listen to Bo Greitz be interviewed by Travis Hipp. We're going to go to our commercial break now, and we'll be right back with our special guest, Commander Hatton.
I hate to take the time to give him, push him, but They're just going to wipe
out. Well, and I think if we exploit our legislative powers in the states, we may be able to greatly alter the power structure. Right now, our principal problem is not legal, but psychological.
Absolutely.
That we are the tail on the federal dog, and therefore they must wag us.
Absolutely, and you just keep feeding that dog, you see.
Yes, and if we get more examples on the books, like the Nevada Public Lands Ownership Act of 1979, if we start putting teeth into that, that will show that we can use state legislative powers to enforce U.S. constitutional provisions, then we can turn our attention to such important areas as the currency and get the Federal Reserve off of our necks so far as being able to control everything through their issues rather than what the Constitution requires, that the Congress issue all of the money.
Well, you see, you do get to the point where every time you come up with something, it does require their attention to figure ways to stop it.
Absolutely.
And it works for a while.
Through state action on an earlier attempt to regionalize, which when we come off the commercial break, we might go into a little bit to show how state legislative power can block some of the regionalism because it has blocked regionalism efforts in the past. One of the characteristics of the Silver Coin Bill is that it is trying to mandate to the Congress that they resume control of the American economy by issuing United States notes. That's one of the specific provisions of the Nevada Silver Coin Bill. We agree to retire our silver currency issues when the Congress comes back and starts doing what it's supposed to do.
Well, now you're going to get in, see, the inability to put much pressure onto your Congress, because your Congress is 65% totally 65% controlled by political action committees of one sort and another.
One more commercial. About quarter till, but that'll give you a little
more time. Okay, we're just going to make one more commercial break instead of two. That'll give us a little more continuity.
All right.
And that'll be about a quarter to the hour. So he'll try to run the spots now, and we'll have one less interruption.
Well, perhaps if they are receptive to today, we can do this again.
Yes, now that we understand the mechanics of it a little bit, and also if George gets moved up here, it might be easier. Okay. Here we go.
Well, I hesitate.
Hi, this is Dave Horton with KPTL Talk Radio in Carson City, Nevada. Our guest is Commander Hatton, and we've been discussing some of the problems with regard to federal regionalism. And during the break, I was discussing with Commander Hatton that we have experience in the United States with using state legislative power to block earlier efforts at taking over the state powers by means of federal regionalism. It was done largely by the interests of by the efforts of a single state, where the Committee to Restore the Constitution formed an Indiana Committee to Restore the Constitution, and they put through the Indiana legislature a state bill countermanding the efforts to consolidate numerous state powers in, I think it was Federal Region 5 in Chicago. And the first time they got it through the legislature, or got it through one house, through the Senate, it went over to their House of Representatives and was bottled up in the Ways and Means Committee, whose chairman didn't like it. The next election, there was a new chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. They got it through the House of Representatives, and they ran into another snag. They kept causing heads to roll that blocked this measure until they got it through both houses of the Indiana legislature, which was using its state legislative power to vindicate its governmental rights that were under attack by federal regionalism. Then when they got it all the way through the Indiana legislature, the governor, who was a Republican governor, vetoed it. They went after him. And at that time, Reagan was president, and the Indiana governor was a Republican. And so Reagan got Governor Orr off the hook by countermanding the regionalism executive orders that had been put in place by President Nixon. So this is an indication of how heat generated by a single state legislative body, if it is circumspect and is using the state legislative powers to enforce the Constitution, can block a lot of the problems that we might otherwise face. And this is one of the reasons for encouraging the Nevada legislature to put teeth into the Public Lands Ownership Act, which was adopted in 1979, and that enforced one of the provisions of the United States Constitution that is being violated and has been violated in Nevada for over 100 years. And that's also a reason for having the Nevada Silver Coin Bill, which is an exercise of the state legislative power to correct the constitutional infraction represented by the states agreeing to allow the Congress to issue everybody's money, and then the Congress passes it over to this private corporation called the Federal Reserve. As soon as the Constitution is violated, we need to listen to James Madison and the Federalist Papers when he told us, when the Constitution is violated, you use state legislative devices to correct it. And it may be that we have a strategy, kind of a local strategy here, that would help to unsettle what the planners have in store for us to the point where they may not be able to carry off their coup that they've been working on so successfully if they are starting to deal with a state that is waking up not only to the constitutional danger, but also to the constitutional powers that are available through the state legislature to enforce the terms of the Constitution within the state's borders. Commander Haddon, I don't know how much material along these lines I have forwarded to George Green, but I hope that we'll be able to get a lot of this out so that other people can analyze it. When we did the Public Lands Ownership Act in 1979, many of the so-called public land states, that's states in the western part of the United States that still had a lot of their public lands unlawfully controlled by the federal government, came online and copied the Nevada Public Lands Ownership Act. However, one of the things that was left out of the 1979 Act were the teeth to enforce this correct definition of constitutional law that is still right there on the statutes of Nevada and can be enforced and possibly will be enforced in the upcoming session. So that's another one of the areas where if we look to where our strengths are, and the tactical advantages appear always to be in the hands of the locals, if we look to where our strengths are and use them, kind of like in a military analogy, you reinforce your successes, we may be able to have a stronger position than might first appear when we realize that our Constitution is being violated on nearly every turn. We have a Constitution that limits the federal agencies to very limited areas, and they're trying to form themselves into a general government. And when they do this, they violate the Constitution, they take away our liberties, and they also generate opportunities for a state legislature to use its powers to enforce the Constitution.
Well, I'm going to take the opportunity to sound exactly like an advertiser or a pusher of the Chamber of Commerce. Are we there?
Yes.
Okay, I got such silence, I thought maybe I'd overstep my boundaries.
No, I was listening.
We have a situation that most of you will not be familiar with. We have created a constitutional law center, and it can be contacted by that name through Sacramento. Eventually, and I haven't really broken this to the ones who are the dean of that institution, will also be moved into Nevada. It is now set up as a Nevada company or corporation.
Good.
It works, it has several branches that work with it. On these constitutional issues, for goodness sakes, get in touch with these people. They are already working on an Indian tribe problem called the Dan Band, I think, the Dan Tribe.
Dan Sisters, yes, in Eureka County.
Yes.
That's a very important consideration because, again, it is a question of our having a treaty that we undertake to violate because it's no longer comfortable for us to continue to honor it. But I think we ought to take a look at that treaty again because we will probably find that by honoring our commitments, we will end up with more liberty, more control of our own affairs than we will by dishonoring our commitments, even though we as a state didn't make the commitment. The federal government did, but since they're tearing up the Constitution, we shouldn't be too surprised if they go ahead and tear up a treaty with the Indians. So that is a very constructive suggestion and something that I'll ask George Green to help me follow through on so that we can get some of this information into their hands. They may be able to again employ the good offices of the Nevada legislature.
Well, both, and let me correct it a little bit. The Constitutional Law Center is already working on that case.
Yes.
So, but there are numerous others. There are endless others. And the Constitutional Law Center is going to utilize, and I would hope that there would be a word spread right here, right now. They are looking for lawyers specifically who have fought the system and been disbarred because of it. Ones who are absolutely sick and tired of the corrupt judicial system, get in touch with those people. They are looking for ones. They are looking for lawyers in various and sundry areas about your nation. You have to have a network to make any impact. And you can make an impact. It must be started from the sovereign citizen of...